In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ today taught us by means of a parable. You might say a riddle. He spoke this parable, and it was recorded, to a group of people, a crowd of people, consisting of both his disciples and the Jewish leaders, many of whom at that point wanted to see him killed already, and the crowd, whose opinion, it seemed, changed with the movement of the wind. He spoke to them in parables for a reason, hiding his words under a veil, so that those whose heart was in a good place, who were ready to receive his words and believe them and act on them, might understand through God's grace. Those whose hearts was in a good place but weren't fully ready yet might be inspired to seek to understand, might study and try to learn, understand more, and so through gradual revelation come to a knowledge of him and to salvation. And that those whose hearts were very, very far away from being in a good place might not be scandalized by the direct revelation of his message and therefore suffer a greater condemnation. Many ask, why does our Lord not reveal himself to us openly? Why doesn't he, as you see in movies, make a hole in the clouds and come out and say, here I am, here's what I want you to do, believe in me? And the answer is that we're not ready for that. Many of us would be scandalized by that. Many of us would not want to hear those words and would reject him in the depths of our hearts at that moment and be condemned forever. And so instead, he reveals us to us through parables, gradually, a little bit at a time, so that we might, with a little glimpse, come to love him through study, through effort. And at the end of the days, when all of us will see him as if out of a cloud, directly revealed, we might not be condemned, but might live with him eternally. And that is what this parable here speaks of, is that eternal life with him. The parable says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man, a king, who made a wedding feast for his son. So the king, of course, is the king of kings, the only king of all, our Lord. And he's called a man, a king, because he reveals himself to us as a man. Glory to God that he reveals himself to us men as a man so that we might understand him. Man is meant here in the inclusive sense, of course. So he arranged a marriage feast for his son. Who is the son of the eternal king? It is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. What is this marriage feast? Who is he being married to? The scriptures tell us that he is the bridegroom, and they tell us that the bride is, on one level, the church. But more specifically, each and every human soul that is a part of the church. Every one of us is called to be his bride. Because we are called to very tight and close union with him, who is the source of all of our life. And then in that union with him and with each other, that is what constitutes being in the church. So we're called to this great feast. And what a great feast it is. Because think of, why was it that so many of us would be scandalized by a direct revelation now? It's because death is to such a great degree operative in our lives. There's so much corruption, so much trouble, so much trial, so much weakness. We're weak. We're unable to do almost anything we know we should do. And he comes to bring us life. And that is that life that will abide in us for eternity that we're called to. And we're called to it here and now also, for we're given that life right here, today, right now, in the divine Eucharist. We partake of his life and are fed with his life and can grow into his life. That's what we're called to. The Jewish people who were in front of him were also called to this. They were called by Abraham. Then they were then reminded of that calling. It says in the parables that he sent his servant to call those who had been invited. They were already invited, but they needed reminding. So they were reminded by Moses. They were reminded by all of the prophets. We too have been called. We've been invited. And we're reminded by the words of the scriptures. The words of the apostles recorded in the scriptures. We're reminded by the preaching of the great teachers of the church, by our priests in their homilies and their pastoral letters, which hopefully we read. And these reminders are sent to us constantly. And to a larger degree, I think we react in many of the same ways the people in the parable reacted. So there were three groups described in the parable. The first group went away to their farm. The second group went away to their trade or their commerce. And the third group took his servants, maltreated them, and killed them. I think we can see something of ourselves in all three. So what is the farm? A farm is a place where you labor with all your strength to make food. So that is when we put all of our strength, all of our time, all of our effort into acquiring our material everyday needs, our comforts and our pleasures. What is the trade? Well, when you're working for a corporation or where you're in commerce, you're working with all your strength and all your effort to make what? To make money. That's when we put all of our effort and all of our strength behind acquiring wealth. So what did these two groups do? They didn't come to the wedding festivities because they were too busy laboring with all their time and effort to acquire pleasure or to acquire wealth. Many of us do the same, right? We choose to give our time to pleasure and comfort or wealth rather than to what we need to do to come closer to Christ, rather than, for instance, preparing to receive the great gift of Holy Communion. What does the third group do? It's harder to see ourselves in the third group, but I think we can. The third group takes his slaves and kills them. So who are those servants again? Who are those servants who are sent? They're the words of the apostles recorded in the Gospels and in the Epistles. They're the words of our pastors and teachers in their homilies and in their pastoral letters. It's the voice of our conscience implanted by God in our hearts to remind us of what we need to do. How often do we try to silence or not hear those words? How often do we choose not to open the gospel book? Maybe we say it's boring, maybe we say we're too tired, but really when we start to open it, we don't like it sometimes. It afflicts our conscience. We don't want to hear it always. And so we put it aside to read something that's a little more comforting, a little more easy to read. We listen to the homilies, but we choose not to really pay focused attention. We tune it out because it's bothering us. We get a pastoral letter and we say, oh, I'll get to that later. We hear the voice of our conscience and we silence it by giving ourselves all kinds of entertainments, all kinds of other things to do so we don't have to hear that pesky little conscience. That's us killing the servants of God sent to us to invite us to the supper. And if those, our Lord's response to those people was to destroy those wicked murderers, and I think it said burn up their city. What can we expect on that last day when we are face to face with God with no veil anymore and we've done nothing to prepare ourselves? We haven't taken the little bit of introduction to him we're offered along the way through our life and we have to get him all at once. And we're not ready. The parable goes on. It says what he does next. He goes and he asks his servants to bring in whoever they can find because those people weren't worthy. So they bring in the evil, they bring in the good, and our Lord goes, I said our Lord, the king, it was in the parable, but of course it represents our Lord, he goes to the supper and he finds this man who's in the supper, in the wedding feast, but does not have on a wedding garment. What is this wedding garment? Well, think about it. These men came from the highways, it said. Perhaps some of them actually were highwaymen. Others perhaps weren't, but they were from anywhere. They probably didn't have the kind of clothing you would have to go to a fancy wedding feast at the king's court. So he gave them the clothing. He said, here, wear this. But this man, he was happy to come in and enjoy the feast. He was happy to partake of the food, the nice warm rooms, the comfortable chairs. But he didn't want to change his clothes. He didn't want to change at all. He wasn't interested in being with the son whose feast this was or celebrating with him. He wasn't interested in the son. He was interested in getting something from him. So how often then are we exactly like that also? When do we come to God? We come to God more often than not, most of us, when there's a trouble in our lives. We need comfort. We want to beg him to give us relief from material concerns, emotional angst and anguish, to help us avoid a tragedy, to help us cope with something. We want to get something from him. How often do we go to God seeking to understand what it is that he wants to give us? How often do we go to him when things are going well in the world? How often do we reflect on everything he has given us, everything he promises us, the great gift of union with him in heaven, the great life, freedom, the conquering of the death that we see active in the world and the weakness that is in us? How often do we come to him seeking to see that removed? How often do we come to him in tears of repentance over the fact that we are so weak in our will and so hard in heart to seek the things which he wants to give us. I dare say probably not often enough. So, brothers and sisters, let us try to change this. We are about to continue to celebrate the Divine Liturgy. We're about to experience the greatest miracle that ever takes place on earth, right here in our presence. Many of us will receive the greatest gift that can be given here on earth, right here today. During this time, let us pray to God that he'll soften our hearts, that he'll help us to see this great wedding supper to which each of us is called, both in eternity and to begin partaking of a little bit at a time here and now so we can come to know him, that he'll soften our hearts and help us to seek him. Because when we begin to seek him, he'll meet us and take us the rest of the way. May God help us in this. Amen.